Hey, good morning. Okay, let's turn to 1 Samuel chapter 2. 1 Samuel 2. Then Hannah prayed and said, "My heart exalts in the Lord. My horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth speaks boldly against my enemies because I rejoice in thy salvation. There is no one holy like the Lord. Indeed, there is no one besides thee, nor is there any rock like our God. Boast no more so very proudly. Do not let arrogance come out of your mouth, for the Lord is a God of knowledge, and with him actions are weighed. The bowels of the mighty are shattered, but the feeble gird on strength. Those who are full hire themselves out for bread, and those who are hungry cease to hunger. Even the barren gives birth to seven, but he who has many children languishes. The Lord kills and makes alive. He brings down to Sheol and raises up. The Lord makes poor and rich. He brings low. He also exalts. He raises the poor from the dust. He lifts the needy from the ash heap and make them sit with nobles and inherit a seat of honor. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and he set the world on them. He keeps the feet of his godly ones, but the wicked ones are silenced in darkness. For not by might shall a man prevail. Those who contend with the Lord will be shattered. Against them he will thunder in the heavens. The Lord will judge the ends of the earth, and he will give strength to his king, and will exalt the horn of his anointed. Then Elkanah went to his home in Ramah, but the boy ministered to the Lord before Eli the priest." Now the sons of Eli were worthless men. They did not know the Lord. And the custom of the priests with the people, when any man was offering a sacrifice, the priest servant would come while the meat was boiling with a three-pronged fork in his hand. Then he would thrust it into the pan or a kettle, a cauldron, or pot. And all that the fork brought up, the priest would take for himself. Thus they did in Shiloh to all the Israelites who came there. Also, before they burned the fat, the priest's servant would come and say to the man who was sacrificing, "Give the priest meat for roasting, as he will not take boiled meat from you, only raw." And the man said to him, "They must surely burn the fat first, and then take as much as you desire." Then he would say, "No, but you shall give it to me now, and if not, I will take it by force." Thus the sin of the young man was very great before the Lord, for the man despised the offering of the Lord. Now Samuel was ministering before the Lord as a boy wearing a linen ephod, and his mother would make him a little robe and bring it up from year to year when she would come up with her husband to offer the yearly sacrifice. Then Eli would bless Elkanah and his wife and say, "May the Lord give you children from this woman in place of the one she dedicated to the Lord." And they went to their home. And the Lord visited Hannah, and she conceived and gave birth to three sons and two daughters, and the boy Samuel grew before the Lord. Now Eli was very old, and he heard all that his sons were doing to all Israel, and how they lay with the women who served the doorway of the tent of meeting. And he said to them, "Why do you do such things, the evil things that I hear from all these people? Know, my sons, for the report is not good which I hear the Lord's people circulating. If one man sins against another, God will mediate for him. But if a man sins against the Lord, who can intercede for him?" But they would not listen to the voice of their father, for the Lord desired to put them to death. Now the boy Samuel was growing in stature and in favor both with the Lord and with men. And then a man of God came to Eli and said to him, "Thus says the Lord, did I not indeed reveal myself to the house of your father when they were in Egypt in bondage to Pharaoh's house? And did I not choose them from all the tribes of Israel to be my priests, to go up to my altar, to burn incense, to carry an ephod before me? And did I not give to the house of your father all the fire offerings of the sons of Israel? Why do you kick at my sacrifice and at my offering, which I have commanded in my dwelling, and honor your sons above me by making yourselves fat with the choicest of every offering of my people Israel? Therefore, the Lord God of Israel declares, I did indeed say that your house and the house of your father should walk before me forever. But now the Lord declares, far be it from me, for those who honor me I will honor, and those who despise me will be lightly esteemed. Behold, the days are coming when I will break your strength and the strength of your father's house, so that there will not be an old man in your house. And you will see the distress of my dwelling in spite of all that I do good for Israel, and an old man will not be in your house forever. Yet I will not cut off every man of yours from my altar, that your eyes may fail from weeping and your soul grieve, and all the increase of your house will die in the prime of life. And this will be the sign to you which shall come concerning your two sons, Hophni and Phinehas. On the same day both of them shall die. But I'll raise up for myself a faithful priest. He will do according to what is in my heart and in my soul. And I will build him an enduring house, and he will walk before my anointed always. And it shall come about that everyone who is left in your house shall come and bow down to him for a piece of silver or a loaf of bread and say, please assign me to one of the priest's offices that I may eat a piece of bread. Amen. Okay. So let's start off with the song. And before that, let me just give you a little idea of the structure. Remember yesterday we talked a little bit about God orders the affairs of man. He orders the affairs of a nation. He also orders the affairs of individuals. And so so that theme carries through. One of the aspects here is you'll see God's purposes will come through. God's will happen. It will happen either through blessing or it'll happen through judgment. So God's purposes will stand. The avenue by which that happens is going to be you can obey God and be blessed, and the blessing will lead into the fulfillment of God's will, or judgment. You can disobey God, and so God uses judgment to also bring about his purposes. So you can choose one or the other. Now, with that in mind, you'll notice in chapter 2, we have this like back and forth, back and forth. We have a little thing about Samuel, and then a little thing about Eli and his sons. Then a little verse on Samuel, and then a part about Eli. And then another little verse on Samuel, and back and forth. And the writer, what he's trying to illustrate is this message. Look, you're basically in this place. You can choose blessing, that's Samuel. Or you can choose judgment, that's Eli, Hophnias, and Phinehas. Or Hophni and Phinehas. That's where they're going to go. And so you see how this works out. So we'll start off, we'll see this, we'll start off with Hannah. Hannah sings this beautiful song, and it's really interesting that this song sounds very similar to Mary's song that Mary will sing when the angel appears to Mary. And so we see some similarities. We see, and this is why we play music and we worship on Sunday. It's a part of who we are and our praise to the Lord, because prayer and praise are so interconnected with each other. We see this even in the New Testament, Colossians, particularly Colossians 4:2 and 1 Timothy 2:1, talk about the beautiful synchronicity and the beautiful design of praise and prayer. And so when we come on Sunday, on the Sabbath, and we sing songs of praise, those are also prayers. And we see here in Hannah's song of thanksgiving, when you really, it's actually quite a beautiful prayer that gets forward. So let me do a little background. So Hannah starts, and she first says, my heart exalts in the Lord. My horn is exalted to the Lord. In the ancient Near East during this time, a woman would wear a veil. It'd just be part of their headdressing, which is normal everyday life. And it's really crazy. If the woman was married, obviously only married women had that. If you're married and didn't have children, your horn actually drooped a little bit. And so your horn would on the forehead of your head would come down a little bit, and that's where the veil and your headdressing would be attached to, and it'd go out. So it was an indication for everybody that you're barren, basically. And so it was not a very good thing, but this way they identify themselves. Now, if you're a woman, you're married, and you had children, your horn was straight up. And so, and then your veil or headdressing would flow down from that. And so what Hannah is really expressing, and you'll see this all the way through, is God takes the lowly and he blesses them and he lifts them up. God takes the haughty, you know, those in high places, and because they're disobedient, he brings them down. And so in this one verse, Hannah says, I was lowly, right? My horn was low and bent, but now it is exalted before the Lord. And so it shows her place now, because she had been faithful and God had rewarded her and blessed her into the purposes of God. My mouth speaks boldly against my enemies. Remember Peninnah, who would always jab at her and whatnot? And now she can stand and say, hey, you know, you can no longer call me those names. And so she can speak boldly against her enemies, because I rejoice in thy salvation. And I mean, it just continues on and on. We see little imageries, like in verse 8, he lifts the needy from the ash heap. He makes them sit with nobles. And so this was, if you're really poor, what would happen is the way that you would earn income is that you would take donkey's dung or horse dung. You basically would collect their feces and you would set it out to the sun to bake. And it would turn into like an ash. And then they would take that and they would sell that as fuel for people. I mean, it's not a very good job. And obviously the only people that wanted this job are the really, really poor. And he says, again, here's the blessing. Even those who sat on the ash heaps who were so poor that they had to their income by selling dung. And not only selling it, but waiting for the dung to dry. I mean, what a process, right? And then they would do that. But he lifts them up and he sets them in noble places. And this is what God does. God takes the lowly and he exalts them. And this is not, I don't want you to think just purely in terms of like lowly position. He takes the lowly of heart. A broken and contrite heart, O God, thou will not despise, the psalmist tells us. He says, if you want to be great, you need to be the servant of all. He says that he lifts up the humble, and he gives them extra grace. And I mean, there's so many passages all throughout that depict this humility, this lowliness of heart, and God exalts them in this place. He gives them a seat of honor. He keeps the feet of the godly ones, but the wicked ones are silenced in darkness, and so on and so forth. And so that's Hannah's song. Again, make note of, and if you have time, go read Mary's song, what they call the Magnificat, and you can get more insight and see the correlation in that way. Because Samuel really is a type of Christ, a true Nazarite. Remember, before we had a Nazarite, the first one, remember, it was Samson, and he was really bad. And now we have a true Nazarite rise up, and that's Samuel. So Samuel ministers to the Lord before Eli. Now, so we have, here's this beautiful song, here's Samuel, now Eli's sons. And Eli's sons were worthless men. They were sons of Belial, that's actually the translation. And they did not know the Lord. I mean, listen, brothers and sisters, how dangerous is it for a religious leader not to know the Lord? I mean, think about that for a moment. I mean, how incredibly dangerous would it be for a person that's leading a church, that's teaching in seminary, you know, I mean, all kinds of things, and they do not know the Lord. Over the summer, I was reading this, or I got this magazine, and it was like the great courses of the world, and, you know, like photography, cooking, and theology. So I looked through, and I saw a series of teachings, or DVD teachings that were pretty fair price, and I was going to buy it, but just before then, I kind of got a check in my spirit. I was like, you know, I don't know about this, and so I actually emailed my mentor, you know, Dr. Ryan Chang, and I said, hey, have you heard of this guy? And so, I mean, we had a long conversation, and he basically told me, don't buy it. He's like this liberal theologian, and it's crazy. He actually went to Moody Bible School, went to Wheaton, and then did a seminary, a PhD at Princeton. And while he's at Princeton, he lost his faith. And so now he goes about trying to debunk Christianity, basically. And, you know, it comes out on like National Geographic. It looks really scholarly and all these things. But again, reminded of, you know, a man has some knowledge, but doesn't know the Lord. And I want to tell you guys, don't ever go to a class, you know, even at a university, or and get any teachings on theology from someone who doesn't know the Lord. It is suicide that you're committing there. You know, make sure, because it's you know, this whole thing is all about relationship. The gospel that we have is not just cognitive, it's by faith. And so there's a spirituality that's involved there. And obviously we know there's a deceiver who disguises himself like an angel of light, who's very good at deceiving, and it may look really good, it may look proper, but it's the spirit of Antichrist. And so we got to be very aware of that. So he talks about the customs. We haven't done this since Leviticus, so let me go back a little bit. The priests that were offering this, the Levites, what they would do is they were allotted. Remember, they couldn't have land and they didn't have animals and whatnot. So their food was from the offerings that came. And so the priest is entitled to the shoulder and the breast. That's like good meat. You know, in fact, probably would say there's probably some of the best meat in, you know, chicken or you know, a lamb or you know whatever. Even though I mean they don't do chickens here, so don't confuse that. Okay, and so because I'm thinking about Kentucky Fried Chicken. Sorry. So they're entitled to the shoulder and to the breast. Good meat. These guys are so greedy. They want more. And they're not happy enough with the shoulder and the breast. And when they put the offering on, they get the guy to actually take it out. That is against, because the offering is unto the Lord. And the fat portions are burnt first, and then whatever's left, that's an incense to God. Whatever's left is actually given to the people who sacrifice, and they would take that and they would eat that. That would be part of their feast. And so what these guys do is they take it while it's cooking. In other words, they don't honor God in that at all. And they're super greedy. So much so that the servant actually tells them, you need to give this. Now, it was custom that an Israelite, because he was so grateful for the offering and, you know, so grateful for the service, what the priest did, it was very customary that the Israelite would give portions of their portion to the priest. And so it became kind of this, in fact, what they would do is they would invite the priest to the feast, to their feast. You know, it would be like, you guys, you know, had a baby dedication or you know, something, and the minister did something for you guys there, or a wedding, and then you would invite the minister to your dinner, and you'd celebrate together, and you would share in the joy and the bounty. These guys were so lazy, they didn't even go to their feasts. In other words, they did not fulfill the duty of a priest. And so they would just gobble up the meat, take off, go to their own homes, and they didn't care anything about the people whatsoever. They dishonored God, they dishonored their office, and they dishonored the people of God that were being righteous in this regard. Now you see why the anger of the Lord burns. And so these young men were worthless. And then, going back, then you have Samuel. See how the writer, he juxtaposes these two passages together. And so Hannah is so grateful. Ah, oh, then Eli's sons. Ah. Oh. Blessing, oh, judgment. Then blessing. Now Samuel is a boy. He's a great boy. His mom's so nice. She makes him a coat. Remember, he's not old enough, and nor is he a Levite. He is a Levite because his father is part of that family. But in any case, and so he goes down and he... So he's blessed, his mom blesses him, and even though Samuel's not a priest, but he is dedicated to the Lord at a young age, and we see that. And then judgment again. Now Eli's sons come back. And so Eli's sons, now Eli was very old. He heard what his sons were doing, but they didn't listen to him. And here's let me add to the grievousness. It says here in verse 22, and how they lay with the women who serve at the doorway of the tent of meeting. Now, these were not just any women, you have to understand. These were dedicated. These women that stayed at the tent of meeting, actually, this tradition went all the way through even to the New Testament times. And in fact, in Luke 2:37, we see a passage of a particular one. Annas was one of these who actually sat at the gate. And that's what she was doing. She was one of these women that sat in the temple. They did not associate themselves with the affairs of the world. They were basically like monks. And so all they did is they ministered to the Lord before the tent of meeting. And that was their full-time occupation. And so they were holy women. They were older women, you know, mostly. I mean, some young as well. But they were just women that were just totally dedicated to the Lord. And what did these guys do? These guys went in and they lay with them. They had sex with these women. I mean, can you imagine? That would be like, if we look in our context, that would be like sisters, you know, in the Catholic Church. You know, these women that had totally given themselves to the Lord. And it would be like the priest that actually has relations with all these women that have given up their sexuality, given up being married, you know, giving up the world, giving up everything. And that's how evil these guys are. They go and they lay with these women, these holy, devoted, dedicated women, which goes to say that they use their position. You know, I'm sure the women didn't want to do that, so to speak, they're so dedicated, but they use their position to manipulate and to force themselves upon these women. It's horrible. So Eli's like, man, the word is not good for you guys. And they didn't listen to him. They didn't care. End of verse 25, but they would not listen to the voice of their father, for the Lord desired to put them to death. And then, 26, now blessing. Now the boy Samuel is growing in stature and in favor both with the Lord and with men. That's also what they said about Jesus as well. All right, so he is the type of Christ. So again, punishment, judgment, and then Samuel, blessing. And now we go back to judgment. Then a prophet comes to Eli, a man of God, and he says to him, man, basically, you're in big trouble. And he talks about all these things that's going to happen. But we get go down a little bit. Look what he says. He says, behold, days are coming, verse 31, when I will break your strength and the strength of your father's house. There will not be an old man in your house. In this time, and even in our time too, not so much now, but back then, it was very prosperous. It meant great fortune. It meant, a lot of really wonderful things about your family if you had a lot of old men in your family. In other words, they live to a long age. We got a glimpse of this. When my parents were in Uzbekistan, my mom at that time was late 50s, maybe 58 years old. And my mom loved to study. I mean, you know, she got straight A's in seminary, English seminary, right? I'm understanding she's Korean speaking. She got straight A's and she loved reading. She loved to study. And so she wanted to go to Tashkent University and study Russian and Uzbek and, you know, and history and all these things. And, they have the money. They're missionaries, but, you know, school is very inexpensive there. And my mom got rejected from the university there. And you know the reason why? Because they don't accept anyone over 40 years of age. They feel like educating anyone over 40 is a waste of time because that's about time they're going to die. I mean, this is, you know, in the 90s, okay? So, I mean, Uzbekistan in Central Asia is a lot better now. But it gives you an idea of the even 20 years ago, the young age, and my mom was shocked. You know, she's like, what? You know, I'm like, I'm healthy. I'm 40 years old. They like, it's just curtain. You know, if you're 40, you're about to die. Why should we waste education on you kind of thing? And we see kind of this system. So it was of great honor to have old men. And he says, your family's cut off. Now, this is significant. Going all the way back to Moses, remember Eleazar? Eleazar was the eldest son of Moses, and remember his sons Abihu and Nadab, they messed up, and so the priesthood was taken from him and given to the house of Ithamar, and so the priesthood changed hands. Because of Eli's sons and Eli's lack of parental control over his children, in other words, there was no generational transfer, which is very important, succession in the Israelites, that the priesthood was now taken from the house of Ithamar. That's what Eli was part of, and given back to the house of Eleazar. And so we'll see that going forward. And then it will precursor to later on where we'll see two high priests at work, which is in Jesus' time, that comes in. And so it becomes a house that's divided, an office that gets divided in that way. And so he'll break your strength. Your house will be desolate. Cut this off, and your sons are also going to die, and on and on. Okay, I totally ran out of time. So let's close our eyes. And then tomorrow, or Tuesday, we get to the blessing of Samuel again. So this back and forth, back and forth. So let the Holy Spirit speak to you today. Going back to the prayer theme we talked about yesterday. Blessing. God will institute His will through the service and the blessing of His people, through the obedience of His people, or through judgment. Again, let's choose obedience. Let's choose God. Let's choose love. Mercy triumphs over judgment. God wants to bless His people. But if His people are disobedient, He will discipline them to bring them about to His purposes. Well, let's meditate on that.
Been faithful. Oh.
Let's pray, huh? Is there anything in our life right now that we are walking in disobedience? Are there any chinks in our armor? Is there any area where the enemy can come and accuse us? It's easy. It's repent. Again, that's a theme here in Samuel. People make mistakes, but what God desires is repentance. And in that place of repentance, He will restore all things unto Himself. And so let's have a little gut check this morning as we come into the weekend. Is there anything in my life that I'm not proud of? Have the heart of humility to repent and go before the Lord. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. And let's pray. Let's pray for our community this morning. Let's pray for our friends and family members that are battling through cancers and therapies. And let's pray for God's love and His ministry of healing to touch them. Let's pray for our community that's battling illness but also needs to meet with Jesus. Let's pray for physical and spiritual healing. Let's pray for our community battling non-cancer related illnesses, and let's pray for God's healing. pray for our community that's looking for work. And let's pray for God's provision and open doors. Let's go to our prayer mission, prayer focus. And today let's pray for SPSG, pray for Pastor Sam Kim, his family, the leaders, pray for their continued search for a new facility. There's also their annual retreat coming up in the second weekend in September that I'll actually be going to speak at. Let's just pray for God's favor and blessing. They had to move the retreat from Indonesia to Malaysia because of the ISIS issue over in Batam. And so just pray for safety. Pray that everyone that can come out to the retreat and really grow. Let's also pray for Indonesia. Let's pray for SP Indonesia. Pray for Pastor Selamat and the ministry. The first weekend of October is their 10th anniversary. And so let's pray for just an amazing celebration of God's faithfulness and continue to lift up the ministries and these countries to the Lord. Let's pray for our missions council. Oh, let's ask God's hand to be upon all of our leaders there. Use them to lead our church in our missional efforts. So pray for a spirit of wisdom and revelation. Let's pray for our local outreach ministries. Let's pray for Agape, Homi, SP Lives, Freedom Bridge, and Recreation. Let's pray for the volunteers would be nourished and equipped and continue to serve with all their heart. Let's pray for more volunteers to rise up to really take a hold of God's mission here in Hong Kong. Let's pray for our leaders and ask the Lord to continue to equip them and bless them to lead. Let's pray for our Friday evening activities, SPU and IP. Let's ask the Lord to bless our leaders, be with our pastors and our college students, and that tonight they would be drawn closer to Jesus. Pray for our intercessor prayer team. Pray for protection over them, and they would really pray God's purposes. They would be flowing with the Holy Spirit tonight. Let's lift up. Let's pray. Father, we always want to choose blessing, God. We want to choose obedience, Lord. And I pray that the Holy Spirit would always put a check in our hearts, a whisper, God, in our ears, Lord, when we're going after judgment, God, instead of blessing, Lord. We so easily do. Have mercy on us, God. Lord, watch over us, watch over our church throughout this weekend. You know, help us to just really lift up Jesus in all that we do and all that we say. We love you, Lord. We thank you, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Bless you. Enjoy the rest of your prayer time, and we'll see you guys over the weekend. Bless you.